European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
And we're going to continue here with Earth, God's University of Faith. And we're going to do part number 16 today. And we're going to be discussing a subject that we need to take on this earth, which is a subject of forgiveness. Let's just pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the moments we have here with the Word of God. And Lord, we treasure the Word of God. And Father, I just ask you right now, just open it for us. Give us an understanding so deep, Lord, that it will change our lives and heal us and give us daily victory. And as we ask, in Jesus' name, Amen. Forgiveness. How important is this subject? I hope that after today, you will have a great understanding. This is the centerpiece in God's redemptive plan for mankind. Forgiveness is actually, if we were going to look for the core of the gospel, if we're going to find the center of the gospel, the center of the gospel is forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there's no heaven for us. There's no healing for us. There's nothing for us. Forgiveness was not and is not available to Lucifer and the fallen angels. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. If you pick it up in verse number 12. How were you fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? How were you cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sight of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you, and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? In Ezekiel, we get some further insight on this. Ezekiel chapter 28, and we look it up in verse number 14. It's also about Lucifer. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I've set you so. You was upon a holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways for the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they filled the midst of you with violence. And you have sinned, therefore I will cast this profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy you a covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuary by the multitude of your iniquities. By the inquiry of your traffic, therefore I bring forth the fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold you. All that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more. And then in 25, Matthew chapter 25, if you pick it up in verse number 41, 25:41. Jesus said, "Then shall you see also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Prepared for the devil and his angels. Then in Hebrews chapter 1, book of Hebrews, the first chapter, as you just take a time this morning, God, who at Sunday times, it means many times, in divers manners, means in different ways, spake in time past to the Father by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding the things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sit down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels said at any time, you are my son, this day I have begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he said, your throne of God is forever and ever, except the righteous is the scepter of your kingdom. And then we read in verse 13. But to which of the angels said at any time, sit at my right hand, that I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And Revelation 20. Revelation the 20th chapter. And before I read that, I want to say this thing. The Bible indicates that the angels only had one opportunity. There was no redemptive plan for them. As Lucifer traveled all over the universe, from solar system to solar system, from constellation to constellation, and to galaxy, and he spoke, and he presented himself to the vast number of angels in the universe. The Bible tells us one third believed him and signed on. Two thirds said no. The moment a holy angel heard Lucifer speak and made a decision to go with Lucifer, abandon God, instantly he was damned. Instantly. There was no mercy, no second chance, no dying for the angels. They simply had the opportunity to say yes or no. and it was over for them. Look in Revelation 20 now. And we read from verse number 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to get them together to battle, number who begins as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the devil that deceived them was kept like a fire and brimstone, where the beast of the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Knowing this, we should not come to understand the tremendous gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Look at the outline. God has chosen to forgive all people who will repent of their sins and accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians, the third chapter. You pick it up in verse number 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Bring not speak after the manner of men, to be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not unto seeds of many, but as one unto your seed, which is Christ. And this is saying that the covenant that was confirmed before of God and Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. He should make the promise of none effect. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serves the law was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which had given life, verily righteous should have been by the law. For the scriptures conclude all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which we should after be revealed. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster bringing to the Christ, so we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, to be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage to the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made in law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is the greatest story in creation. Because I want you to think about how many times you and I blow it on a daily basis. If we would have the same options as the angels, I think that every one of us in this room would be either in hell or on our way to hell right now. Because we cannot keep our salvation. We are totally saved by grace. If we had to work for it, we'd be lost, doomed. Now, we take our salvation lightly. We think, well, you know, God is good, you know, He will forgive me, you know, and we kind of ask for forgiveness and we go on. And I think not until we understand how precious salvation is, when we begin to say, Father God, help me not to take it so lightly. Help me not to waste my life and time anymore. Think about a waste of time spent in front of a television screen, or if you go to a movie house. An hour, 2 hours wasted. And I'm talking not about Christian television, I'm talking about ungodly television or movies. This is the time when you could have prayed, you could have read the word, you could have been out speaking to somebody, you could have done something great in the kingdom of God, and there we sit wasting, and not only wasting, but we have a sewer pipe that is just bathing us in filth of the world. And then we says, well, God will understand, I need a little bit of entertainment. We take it lightly. We take it very lightly. We need the simplest, Father God, show me how precious it is. In Matthew 5, as you move into forgiveness, it's one of the hardest things to do. And the reason we are sick is because we haven't forgiven. I would say that a lot of sickness comes from unforgiveness. Jesus brought out the truth. He says, God has chosen to forgive men. God demands. Notice that. God demands that men shall forgive one another. Matthew 5:21. Jesus said, you've heard it was said by them of old time, you should not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means worthless, you're no good, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you're fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remembers that you brought his oath against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I agree with the adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and you be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, you shall by no means come out thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. I want us to see this morning, you that are listening here, you that are listening by audio cassette to by video. Forgiveness is a demand, not an option. It is not something that you say, okay, God, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to forgive this turkey over here. It is not an option. It's a demand. God said, through Christ, if we do not forgive, He said, don't come to the altar. Don't come to my altar and bring your gift. Just lay it down go and reconcile first and then come back to the altar. God says, I don't want you in front of the altar if you are not forgiving. Who's the first one we have to forgive? The first one you have to forgive is yourself. You see, a lot of us, because Jesus said we have to love, the commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you cannot love yourself, you cannot love anyone else. And if you cannot forgive yourself, you're not going to be able to forgive anyone on this planet. And this is where the devil has frozen many people. All things that happened in time past, and they could not forgive themselves. They cannot forgive others. A lot of families had developed this. It's fairly common that they just don't use the word. They don't want to confess anything. They just don't say nothing. They just keep on going. Or they just don't talk about it anymore. That's a cop-out. That's not really forgiveness. And I was raised in a family. I mean, when people came up to me and said, can you forgive me? I would begin to stutter and stammer. And I would think, well, I'm really unclean, you know, I really got a lot of stuff to forgive, and I couldn't say, yes, I forgive you. I couldn't speak those words. Until God dealt with me and said, you have to forgive them. But I said, Lord, I'm so filthy myself. He said, you got to forgive them. I forgave you. We need to verbalize, I have sinned against you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And we need to respond back and say, yes, I will forgive you. I release it. And if I've done something to you, would you forgive me? If you want to have freedom in your life, you've got to learn to give and receive forgiveness. Turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 11. The Gospel of Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, you say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This prayer is known as the Lord's Prayer. It's actually for the disciples. But notice that. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. When you pray this prayer, you really got to look upon the words, and you cannot say, Father God, forgive me as I forgive others, if you haven't forgiven others. We got to begin to look and say, who are those people that I need to forgive? Jesus stressed the point of forgiveness in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew the 6th chapter, verse number 9. And after this manner therefore pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father would also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want you to think about that. God said, I will not forgive you. For his son, he said, I will not forgive you unless you forgive others. The first thing I look after when we lead someone to Christ is this. If there's a change of heart. You see, I believe that many people have a lot of bitterness and anger in them. And they cannot forgive. And when they ask for salvation, God sees all the unforgiveness. And at that point, he cannot forgive them. And only God can give us a gift of repentance, where we can repent of our sins and release all the unforgiveness. The first thing that happened to me in my personal life, after I had received Christ, was I got such a burden to ask people to forgive me for all the things I'd done to them. And for being a very unforgiving person, I was changed just like this. And I see that in many people who are saved. But if you do not do this, you might have been saved and then something happens to you and you cannot forgive a person. You hold a grudge. You might as well hold cancer in your bosom, or arthritis, heart attack, strokes, because now you are working on a disease. In Mark 11:22, Mark 11, now this is tough to forgive, particularly if it was not your fault. Doesn't matter. You want to walk with Christ, you got to forgive. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I said to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I said to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. We like those verses. We claim that. We say, hey, that's for me. But look in verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any that you fought, also which you have, it may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We have read passage after passage after passage. Jesus said, you will not be forgiven. We really need to look upon this and say, wow, God is really serious here. It's not one verse. It's not just a French verse here and there. But it's woven into the whole fabric of the Bible. If you do not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. This is the hardest class to take at God's University of Faith. It's the hardest one because you have to die to yourself. You literally have to sit on your pride, destroy all feelings you have of pride, and you have to say, God, mold me in your image. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I just remember we didn't take our flu medicine today. We can do that in the clothes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on a new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. need to give place to the devil. That him that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hand to think of the good that he might have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. That old bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Look upon verse number 32. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Sickness will come, but we don't forget. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, we read this. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Look under my list underneath here as God gave it to me. The following demons are used by Satan to destroy people. Guilt, grief, sorrow, anger, and shame will hinder a person to forgive himself and ask for forgiveness. Here's a young woman, maybe 16, 17 years old. She gets pregnant. She's not married. She has an abortion. And after the abortion, the guilt comes, the pain, the shame. And now these demons come in and says, you know, you really murdered your baby. It's amazing. The abortion clinics do not say this. The Planned Parenthood don't want to talk about it. But even the most hard-hearted women, as they go into the abortion mills after they have killed their babies, they go into depression. They don't feel good. They lubricate themselves with more alcohol, more drugs. But they never get away from it. Now, this is a guilt and a grief and sorrow and anger and shame that will build up. The tragedy is that sickness does not come the next day. It might take 10 years. It might take 50 to 20 years, and then suddenly it is so much built up inside that it just explodes. And then you have depression, mental breakdowns, hysteria, all kind of different situations. And the doctors are scrambling, checking this out, checking that out, can't find anything physically. They describe this medication, and so on. What is needed is for the person to understand that God still loves them, that God will forgive. But you have to forgive yourself. You have to release the bitterness. You have to release the pain. They're bragging, the Clinton administration, about that in another 15, 20 years, we're not going to have families in America like we have today. It's going to be all kind of families. It's going to be people living together. It's going to be stepfathers, stepmothers. And it's going to be a very few people that are married and the family stays intact. That's going to create more need for drugs, for the drugs company. There's nothing more devastating for a woman to have a child. She's divorced, or two children, whatever she has. She's young, she wants to marry again. And you know, when you become a stepfather, stepmother, it is not easy to step in and says, okay, now here's a child. Because I want to tell you something, you really got to work on that. And the tendency then is for the woman, if it's her child, or the father, if it's his child, to be super protective. And now the marriage has become a hostage to that child. And every time there is a conflict, it's always a conflict over that one child. You're too hard, too rash. You're much nicer to your own children. Why are you always so hateful to my son, my daughter? And the devil says, that's right. Don't forgive him, don't forgive her. These are guilt, grief, sorrow, anger, rejection, and bitterness that have been building up in people, hindering us from forgiving and receive forgiveness and release the pain. So we go on a road of hell, and the divorce courts are full of people where they are divorced. Try to find out a stepfather, not a stepmother. Try something else. Guilt, grief, sorrow, anger, and shame will hinder a person to forgive himself and ask for forgiveness. Rejection and bitterness and hurt will hinder a person to forgive others. Once these demons are firmly entrenched in a person, spirits of infirmity will be invited by the entrenched demons. That's the Luke 13. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. What is deliverance? Deliverance really is the act of forgiveness, breaking of curses, and releasing the garbage, and kicking out the demons. In Luke 13, verse 10, and Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up, lift up herself. Have you ever seen people bowed over the years? With arthritis, really bad, bound up. Have you ever seen people just bound up with all kind of disease? They kind of crumple over. You can see the bitterness in them. And when they walk, they are just drawn and just together like this. And you know that they got ulcers, high blood pressure, they got diabetes, they got all kind of problems. They pop in their pills, high blood pressure. Spirits of infirmity, binding them. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. I want to share with you about my grandmother, my dad's side this morning. She was a beautiful woman when she was young. She got married. But it was a problem. The problem was that she was the only girl, and I think there were about six boys in the family. And when she was growing up as a little girl, and I know this firsthand because I sat down with some of my aunts before they died and talked to them. I wanted to find out what happened in my family line. What happened there? And so they made her to clean the floors, clean the dishes. And she was told, you're a girl, you're worth nothing. When she grew up and got married, she had four girls or three girls, my aunts. And she had about three or four boys. And she reversed it. And the girls were pushed into school education. The boys were told they were nothing. They had to get out when they were 13 years old and go to work in a factory. And they simply were worth nothing. She just stomped on them. Now she was saved. She loved the Lord. She would always talk about Jesus coming back. But she had not understood forgiveness. I can see it now looking back. And I remember, because all I remember of her is a woman bound in infirmities. She had arthritis. And it got worse and worse. And the last 5 years, it was excruciating. She was laying in bed, and every day her legs would just kind of pull up like this, and they had to take sandbags. And I remember we placed sandbags on her legs. They would slowly sink down again. And I remember her hands would just crumple like this and tied up. And she never was healed. I was too young to understand that. But I know that she had a bitterness, anger, resentment. And then as she looked back upon her own family, she realized the damage she has done to her sons and her daughters. Because we had hell in that family with fightings all the time. I mean, everyone was just fighting one another. She made peace with God before she died. And God took her home. But he never could heal her on this earth. He had to heal her when he took her to heaven. And I thought about that. You don't want to get to a place like that. You want to come to a place where you recognize that you cannot be angry. When you get angry or upset, sickness will come in. I feel it in my body. If I get upset and angry, I can feel in a few hours, sickness is beginning to move in. And I got to nip it. It got to go. Unless I want to take a nosedive. Look in verse 12, the good news. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue asked with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to their people, there are 6 days which men ought to work in them, therefore come and be healed, and not on a Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass for the stone and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? 18 years is a long time for a woman to be bound up. I think my grandmother was bound up for more than 20 some odd years. Now, what do you do? You see, a lot of people say, well, how can I get loose? How can I be set free? We're going to look in Proverbs 16:24. Proverbs 16:24. I can tell you this, you are not going to get the flu as long as you have the joy of the Lord. As long as you have the joy of the Lord and you have forgiveness in your heart, there is not a disease that can touch your body. Before Satan can strike you, he must take your joy away. And this is what I know, people that go down. They either got angry, they got upset, and then their immune system shut down. In Proverbs 16:24, we read this. Let me get the product in the Psalms here. Proverbs 16:24. Blessed words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There's a lot of truth in that. Where is your immune system? Your immune system is in your bones. Inside your bones, you have your bone marrow. The white and the red blood cells are made in your bone marrow. This is where your blood is fabricated. The very immune system is in the blood. And it is sitting inside the bones. Now, this book is not written as a medical textbook. So God is simply not says, okay, now I'm going to tell them that we got a bone marrow in there. He simply said this. Look how simple. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. If your bones are healthy, you are healthy. Because the bones, they are the factory that is producing every ingredient in your immune system. Remember this, when God made us, He made us to survive in a hostile environment. When you and I were born, we had cancer cells in us. We have cancer cells continuing through our lifetime. But God has made an immune system that just kills them and cleans them out. Why do we get cancer? Because the immune system breaks down and can no longer pick up the garbage. And there we are. Bones got sick. Look in 17:22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, man, you can't be more clear. The bone marrow is liquid. It's filled with moisture. It's life. And God's word says here, a merry heart is good like a mess, but a broken spirit dries the bones. They stop producing. A merry heart. You see, if you are not forgiving, you can't be happy. Can somebody go back and check the phone? Somebody's been trying to call them about 5 or 6 times here this morning. I don't know if they pick it up. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Catch this now. What we need is joy. And joy comes when we forgive. When you and I forgive, there is joy. Turn to Psalm 6. Psalms 6. You pick it up in verse 1. David, he knew how to pray. He knew what was wrong. He said, "Oh Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, neither chase me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed." He knew what his problem was. "My soul is also sore vexed. But you, O Lord, how long?" Now, you see, when we pray for sickness, I begin to pray for the soul to be healed first. You see, no sickness can come unless the soul is wounded and the soul breaks down the immune system. Bitterness, anger, resentment will destroy us. So somebody hit you with a car and banged you up. somebody had surgery upon you and butched you up and you got banged up and so on. Well, God can heal you. God wants to heal you. But you got to release all bitterness, all anger, and we got to say, Father God, I forgive and I release all my anger. I release all my bitterness. I release all my resentment. I release it. I don't want it. It kills me. Father, wash me in the blood of Jesus. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul and save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there's no remembrance of you. In the grave we shall give you thanks. I am weary of my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you works of iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. I want you this afternoon to go home and sit down and read this verse, this psalm. But look in verse number 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but you, O Lord, how long? You see, what we try to do, we try to go to the health store. We try to go to the medical doctors. We try to go to the practitioners, health practitioners. We try to go to the chiropractor. We try to eat right. We try to do all these things. The problem is a soul problem. It's forgiveness. To receive and to give it. You have to release. Once you release, then God can heal you. And the joy of the Lord will come back. In Psalm 51, you know King David, once I get up into heaven, I want to just tell him this, look, can you spend 25 years for me? I would be able to talk to you. 25 years, just a few minutes in heaven. Actually, about half an hour or so. Here's Psalm 41, 51. David committed adultery. He had lied, cheated, murdered. He was in a mess. Prophet came up to him and said, look, man, you're dead meat. And what did David do? He realized, oh my God, I have sinned. This is the one place to go. He said, have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to what? Your righteousness? Your law? According to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Do you give loving kindness? Do you have tender mercies? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done as evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and the sin of my mother conceived me. Behold, you decide truth in inward parts and hidden parts shall you make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, And here we go again. That the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. As we read this slow, do you see the truth exploding? Do you see what it means? Now, the worst ones to forgive are the ones that we have put things into. I had a guy come, and I shared it with somebody. I just very briefly would just give you this illustration. It was in Salt Lake City. I was in a church. I was a Sunday school superintendent and working in the church. And this ex-Baptist pastor came in with his ex-Mormon wife. He was divorced, married a second time. And they were poor. He couldn't get a job. And I took him on my wings. And I said, well, I will help you. This was a time where unemployment was not that easy to get. And I spoke to my superiors and I said, I have this guy in church, and we need a draftsman in the office. He doesn't know anything about drafting, but I said, I would train him. Can we hire him? And they hired him because of me. And I genuinely loved him. My wife and I loved him and his wife. And now for the next 6 months, we would ride together. We had an hour drive every morning to the office and an hour going back home. And he drove because he didn't have a car, so he carpooled with me and a couple other guys. And then 4 months down the road, this man who now began to excel turned on me. Just turned vicious. And my friends came up to me and said, well, I thought this guy was a Christian. Remember your church? He's black-mouthed. He's just bad-mouthing you. He's telling all kind of bad stuff. And he's telling us just that we should make a mess for you. And I said, I can't understand this. And I got angry. Real angry. Righteous anger. And I thought about it. I talked to him. And he told me, he says, yeah, I don't like you any longer. He says, you know, you are bullish, brute. It's your way. You run this office with an iron hand. He says, you know, I don't like you. You should not do this and that. And here's a guy that I went back with him to give a job. I trained him. And that's how you think. And guess what happened? I got sick. Real sick. I went to my boss, and I said, I want to transfer out of here. I said, I will not work one more day in this office. He said, we're not going to let you go because we need you here. He says, you're the best one I got. You're the manager of the office. He says, I'm not going to let you go. I said, I can't stand this guy here. He said, well, I'm sorry, but we can't let you go. A few days later, I got ill, really ill. Fever, 105. I just collapsed. My wife called someone in the church to the doctor's office. He simply said, just keep going to the hospital. And I never will forget when they laid me out on the table. I just went out. That's the last I remembered. I was gone. And I thought, man, okay, I'm going to die now. I didn't die, but I was sick. And God was dealing with my heart. You see, I had a hard heart. And as I began to recover, guess who the first joker was to come in and give me flowers? This man and his wife. And I laid in that bed and I said, God. And God said, forgive. And I forgave him. And I can look back now. I've had many people I've been upset with. And every time I got upset, I took a nosedive and I got sick. I learned a lesson. Someone hurts me now, I forgive them. I just walk on. I say, God, forgive. They don't know what they do. I'm not going to do it. You might have an ex-wife. You might have an ex-husband. You might have a rotten boss, whatever it is. And you need today to release. You need to forgive and release if you want to be healed. Turn to 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 4. And these things write unto to you, that you what? Joy may be full. This stands a message which you have heard of him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie with the truth. But if you walk in a likeness, he's in a likeness of fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Truth is this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we close today, forget the commotion around us, because I feel the devil has tried everything today to destroy this message. Be honest with yourself. And today, use this invitation time and simply say, Father God, is there anyone in my life that I have forgotten to forgive? Is there anyone in my life that I have grudges against? Father God, is there anyone in my life where I need, just let the light go, they're going to stay another 5 minutes. Is there anyone that have not forgiven yourself? I want you to think deeply today and say, Father God, I forgive myself for my divorce, for the abortion. I forgive myself for whatever you've done, whatever it is. Today, Father God, I want to go to the altars and just release myself from all things. And I want to forgive myself. I want to forgive my wife. I want to forgive my husband. I want to forgive my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters. I want to forgive. Forgive. I want to be cleansed today. Are you willing? Today you can have the greatest miracle of your life. The disease that have plagued you can be dropped just like this. All the weights you carried all these years will be washed away. And you'll be able to walk away praising God at the top of your lungs. Let's stand. Let's pray. Brother Bill, I want you to come and be ready. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today, Lord, for the message of forgiveness that you have shown us in the Bible. You help me to write this, Lord. This is from you, Father. I did not do this myself. And I thank you, Jesus, right now for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit. Father, break open a crust over every heart here today. Every one of us, we harden ourselves over the years, Lord. We just harden ourselves. If we get a hard heart, we might not think so. And help us today to begin to forgive ourselves. To say, Father God, I asked you to forgive me, you did. And now help me to forgive myself. I've been so hard on myself. How can I love and forgive others when I could not forgive myself or love myself? I release all my bitterness, all my anger. I release all my failures. I release it all, and I lay it on the altar right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Father God, wash it away by the blood of Jesus. And heal my broken bones. Heal my wounded soul. And set me free. Thank you, Father God, for touching here today. I want to speak to you that are watching me by television, video, or listening by audio cassette. It is so important. As I prayed, I pray that you prayed with me. But remember this, forgiveness is a demand, not an option. Right in your home, in your car, in an office, in a prison cell, I don't care where you are, you can release all the things right now. And you can experience the greatest explosion of joy in your life that you have ever had. If you pray that prayer, if you're willing to pray it now, may God touch you and release you. In Jesus' name, amen.